بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وجعلنا منهم أئمة يهدون بأمرنا لما صبروا وكانوا بآياتنا يوقنون. Allah Ta'ala speaks about the Bani Israel. He appointed leaders amongst them when they qualified in two respects. Leaders refer to those that will dispense hidayat. Their speech will be hidayat, their behavior will be hidayat, their day will be hidayat, their night will be hidayat, their interacting and socializing will be hidayat, their ibadat and service to Allah Ta'ala will be hidayat. So they became embodiments of hidayat. In other words, embodiments that will dispose of guidance, they will show people the path. So when did this come about? When they qualified in two respects. One is, they had that level of certainty and yaqeen. Without yaqeen, you can't move forward. Without the required amount of yaqeen and conviction, you can't move. A youngster builds up his yaqeen on medicine. He's just ended his matric and he feels that medicine is the thing that is going to give me money. He'll dedicate his life after that. 8 years, 7 years, 8 years, 9 years. He will give his life. He's built up that yaqeen that this is the thing that is going to be my lifeboat. It's going to be the thing that's going to keep me straight and stable. So then he gives 8 years of his life just to go and earn that. Man thinks that I need to have this type of a shop, and this type of a shop is the thing that really will save me. He puts his heart, his whole life's capital, he puts it into it. So without yaqeen and the desired level of conviction, you can't move. The second aspect that Allah Ta'ala speaks about is sabr. When we hear of sabr generally, we confine the application of sabr into a very narrow area, very, very narrow area. Someone shouted you, so you made sabr. Someone hurt you, so you made sabr. So sabr is not just confined to this. Sabr in short, is consistent commitment. Rabtu shay. Rabtu shay will amount to a commitment, but a commitment that is consistent, continuous. It's not just a commitment for 2 days and 3 days, 1 year and 2 years, but it's a constant commitment. So you have given yourself and you've given yourself entirely. You have committed yourself and you've committed yourself completely, consistent. So this is the one element, and the second element is yaqeen. When a person has got this too, then Allah Ta'ala accepts that person. Because then Allah Ta'ala knows that this person is not going to be attracted and distracted to anything else. He has rendered his service to me. Otherwise, today he's with me, tomorrow he's with someone else. Today he's playing one tune, tomorrow he's playing another tune. So he can't be my representative. He can be my representative if he is one, consistent, committed and consistent. When he's consistent and committed, then he can be my representative. Otherwise, he can't be my representative. So in suluk as well, this is what is sought for. That is same thing, sabr. That was rabtu shay. Have you tied yourself, committed yourself to that one person? In their istilah and in their terminology, they will call it i'tiqad and i'timad. But if you go and analyze this i'tiqad and i'timad, then it comes up to the same thing. Commitment with consistency, a consistent commitment. And then, dependent on the level of the commitment that you have given and the consistency that you have, Allah Ta'ala will grant you that progress. So no matter how small you are, how insignificant you are, Allah Ta'ala will take out the work from you. Allah Ta'ala willing, from a thing that is totally insignificant, Allah Ta'ala can make it significant. The giver is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but He wants to see the heart. We generally talk about the Arabs that they were backwards and they were worse than the Stone Age, etc., whatever we talk about them. But there were some things for which Allah Ta'ala had selected them. From amongst all the other nations of the world, Allah Ta'ala selected these people to be the companions of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There must have been a reason for that. Can't be just randomly He just chose them to be the Sahaba, to be the best people after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that walked the surface of this earth. It was just a random selection. There must have been a lot of reason why Allah Ta'ala had selected them, why He selected them. So when you look at the Sahaba Ikram, they were also people that were commitment. They had commitment, consistent commitment. In the battle of Banu Qurayza, Rasulullah Prophet had announced to the Sahaba Ikram, "La yusalliyanna ahadukum salat al-asri illa fi Bani Qurayza." We are going to be proceeding towards Banu Qurayza, so nobody should perform Asr Namaz anywhere but in Banu Qurayza. Banu Qurayza was a Jewish settlement, so they had to move away into Banu Qurayza to go and perform the Asr Namaz. That was the instruction, the clear instruction they received from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Sahaba Kiram en route to Banu Qurayza had two different opinions. Some felt that Rasulullah's instruction was us to reach Banu Qurayza as soon as possible, in quick time, mustn't delay. It didn't mean that we should make Asr Namaz Qaza. It was not the reason. The reason was, must go and not delay. Go quickly now. Go quickly and go and reach up to Banu Qurayza. So those people that reasoned in this way, they performed the Asr Namaz en route. And the other group felt, no, the Bishop's explicit command was, you should go to Banu Qurayza and perform your Asr Namaz at Banu Qurayza. So we will reach up Banu Qurayza even if our Asr Namaz becomes Qaza. So they did this. It was the style of the Sahaba Ikram that whatever they had done, there would be total transparency. They would come and report and relate to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because there was commitment and there was consistency, so they had nothing to hide. Otherwise now you're playing some hide and seek here. This one will report, that one they will not report, we'll do this, we will not do that. So that level of confidence will make you report. And when you're not reporting, then obviously there is something that you are hiding. When you're hiding, that means you don't have the level of confidence. The person that is reporting to his elders, his mashayikh, that means he's got total confidence. And if he's not reporting completely, then he's hiding away something. When he's hiding away something, then he doesn't have the level of confidence. And he needs to report anything and everything that relates to his Islam. Small thing or big thing. Maybe a small thing, very, very small, minute thing. But it is connected to his Islam. So he must go and relate. He can't then say, no, I want to be choosy and selective, etc. I can't do this. Shaykh ul-Hind rahmatullah alayh and Hazrat Mawlana Khayyam at-Sa'an Puri sahab rahmatullah alayh, they were at Gangoh. And there was a discussion about a kitab, Hafte Masail or something. It was prepared by Hazrat Hadi sahab rahmatullah alayh. And Hadi sahab rahmatullah's instructions were that in Masail, etc., then you will take instruction from Mawlana Gangoh rahmatullah alayh. In Suluk, then you will take instruction from me. But in Masail, you must listen to him. He's your Imam.
and I will also listen to him. You will listen to him and I will listen to him. So anyway, this Hafta Masail was prepared. And Hazrat Ali Sahib Rahmatullahi was a man that was very accommodating. He wouldn't just find faults with people for no reason. Very accommodating. And perhaps some of the Masail that he had written there was in support of Salam, etc. Salami, how we have it. Right? And perhaps the reason for his inclination towards that was that the style that was adopted in Makkah Mukarrama where he was residing was totally different. They didn't have that type of belief. They were doing it like how perhaps we are doing our 40 duruds here. Right. So Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, in these masail he was quite relaxed. When it came to the Mawad Gangoi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Mawad Gangoi Rahmatullah says, usko hammam mein jhonk do. Go and burn their kitab. Now he's his sheikh. And the affinity between him and his sheikh is so great, that Mawad Gangoi Sahib Rahmatullah, when Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah passed away, then in that extreme grief, for months after that, you couldn't even mention the name of Mawad Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah in his presence. Because if you mention just his name, that memory would make him shriek. He would cry for hours afterwards. So his affinity was like that. There was respect, there was affinity, there was a bond. But he was convinced, Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah was convinced that this man, he's something else. The awliya of the zamana, they used to say that uska kalam to arsh ilahi ko dekh karke chalta hai. It sees the arsh of Allah Ta'ala and writes. So he was no ordinary person. He was a class of his own. Anyway, now these people are discussing this masla of Hafta Masail, and they brought it up to Hazrat Mawad Gangoi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And they asked Mawad Gangoi Sahib Rahmatullah, what do you feel about it? So Mawad Gangoi Sahib Rahmatullah says, no, you check up the kitabs. The kitabs have got all this in detail. So again they asked for the second time, that Hazrat, what's your opinion? Say, no, look at these kitabs, Munira, and check up also Shami, etc. Check these kitabs, Kabiri, etc. Check these kitabs. You'll find the reasoning, you'll find the proofs there. So Mawad Khair Ahmad Sahib Rahmat says, Dalail to ghar ki baat hai. Proofs and reasoning, we have got it. Right? We can lead the argument in any direction that we want. We want to lead an argument in a certain direction, we can do it. We want to lead an argument in another direction, we can do it. It's not difficult for us. But what we want to know is what's within your heart. What's your inclination? So he says, Bande ka ji nahi lagta. My mind doesn't go towards that. All this commotion is taking place in that Hazrat Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah's father, his name was Hafiz Ahmad Sahib. He's a Mawlana, but in spite of him being a Mawlana, a very great Mawlana, but he was known, he was more popular with the name Hafiz Ahmad Sahib. So Hafiz Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah, he sees a dream. Hazrat Rasool Pak Sasami, Hazrat Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah, is speaking to Hafiz Ahmad Sahib. And Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah is telling Hafiz Ahmad Sahib, why are you people so strong on this? Why are you so hell-bent on this? The Hafiz Ahmad Sahib says, Hazrat, usme koi gunjaish nahi. There isn't a possibility to relax this. There is no possibility to relax this in any way. Al-Hadi Sahib says, but there is some relaxation. So, no, there is no relaxation. So Al-Hadi Sahib said, agar main Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam se kehlwa do to, if I get the approval from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then, well, then we'll have to go by it. Anyway, just then, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had come in. When he arrived, the whole masla was presented before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Nabi Sam says, what this youngster is saying is true. What this youngster, that is Hafiz Ahmad Sahib, is saying is true. Now, Hadi Sahib Rahmatullahi, without any hesitation, he was in the standing posture. In the standing posture, now this is in the dream. He goes down, he bends down, and he says, Sahih or Baja, 7 times he said that. Says, what is said is absolutely correct. I accept it, wholeheartedly accept it. So anyway, as Hafiz Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh wrote this dream and sent it up to his Shaykh Haji Imdadullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Hari Sahib was so overjoyed that I want this to be with me all the time. He was so overjoyed. Although it amounted to his own correction. But he was overjoyed to this point, this must remain with me all the time. It's inseparable. So we're talking of this aspect, Lamma Sabaru. A commitment that is not just a day or 2 days. A commitment that is lasting. Then you find production. When there is a marital relationship, then the husband wants a commitment and the wife wants a commitment. When there is commitment, then there is production. Each one wants to do something. But if there is no commitment and no respect to that marriage, then there is no love. There is no understanding. And then one is going on one way, the other is going the other way. And then in between, the children are all getting lost. So both want commitment. And they want that commitment not just for a day, not just for convenience. They want it constant, continuous commitment. Then this thing works. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا. So the Quran Sharif has understood this. Quran Sharif is explaining this. That you can be appointed, but you must qualify in this. The Quran Sharif is speaking about the Bani Israel. But why is it speaking about the Bani Israel as a lesson to us that you want to be accepted, you want Allah Ta'ala to accept you for dini work, dini khidmat, etc. Then I want to see a degree of commitment in you. And the mashayikh, Allah Ta'ala have mercy on all these mashayikh, keep them strengthened all the time. They also understand that man can only progress if he's got that commitment. Come what may, but he's got that commitment. To the level he is committed, will he find the progress. And if he doesn't have that commitment, then no matter what he is, but he won't find a progress. He will always be rocky. One day his mind is moving on one end, and the other day the mind is working on the other end. So he can't just progress. Mawlana Rum Rahmatullah is one of the mujaddid of his time in Suluk. We have mujaddid in different departments. But Mawlana Rum Sahib Rahmatullah is a mujaddid in his science. Right? The world over, from that time, over 8 centuries, they are accepting his works. The whole theme of his kitab is the same thing, i'tiqad and i'timad. But what is the level of i'tiqad and i'timad you need to have on your senior? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is speaking about mi'raj, and straight away Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu is giving him total submission. And there he earned the title of Siddiq. The Nabi Sam announced it. It was just for Nabi Sam to announce. And Hazrat Siddiq, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, to accept straight away. No hesitation. How can it be scientifically? You can't prove it. You have to see it from a different dimension. Is it real or is it just an imagination? No. He didn't allow his mind to be shifted in any way. Nabi Sam had said this, then I accept it wholeheartedly. I don't want to be disturbed. I don't want my mind to be upset with this. If he said this, then I accept it. There must be a reason that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala has received this title. There must be a reason. So, in this path, if we need to have that progress, then it's a level of commitment. What level of commitment are you coming up? What's the level of confidence? What is the level of commitment? One is, what is the level of confidence and commitment, and then is this consistent? Or is it just for convenience for a few days? This is one of those things. We'll take other things in our life. This is also one of the ingredients. then you get it as you believe, as you take it, you will get it the same way. You take it at that level, then you will get it at that level. Mustafa Rahmatullahi was speaking on the same thing. But he gave two stories, several stories he mentioned, illustrating and expounding on the same thing. I'tiqad, i'timad. Like I say, Mu'arum's whole kitab is dedicated to this. Whole kitab, from the beginning to the end, is a philosopher of that zamana. And his whole kitab is dedicated to this. So there must have been some reason his kitab is so well accepted that the whole Western world, non-Muslims, they accept his kitabs. Whether they accept Islam or not, but they are in agreement that this level of philosophy we haven't seen. We haven't seen this level of philosophy. We haven't seen this level of argument, this level of understanding and reasoning. We haven't seen it. We have to relent. We have to submit ourselves. It says that one person had gone for his islah by some sheikh in Delhi somewhere. Sheikh had prepared him. For a good period he had prepared him. So the sheikh told him, now you go, you move straight towards Multan. And you go and do the work there in Multan. Now he's got the instruction from the sheikh. And the sheikh is instructing him, directing him to Multan. En route there is one jogi, and this jogis normally they work with vibes, with the power of imagination. Like how you find people that mesmerize, they would mesmerize with the power of imagination. They make you imagine some things. Now you get this type of people, and he's mesmerizing, he's trying to mesmerize this Abdul Rahman. This murid whose name is Abdul Rahman, and he's being dispatched to Multan, he's trying to mesmerize him. Now as you come into this path, in any part of deen, then you will definitely find an opposition. You will be confronted, sometimes real, physical, and sometimes mental. But why? Why? What's wrong? Why? What's wrong? Now a normal educated person, person that goes to university, school and all that, higher levels, then these are the type of questions they will ask. Why? What's wrong? Now, it's difficult to work with such people. Because now, on the one side they say, no, we got i'tiqad. Then, why, what's wrong? Why, what's wrong? At every step, you have to go explain the person from alif be again. Alif be again. You know, in teaching also, there's different approaches. One is, if the child read that qaf wrong, and you send the child by, go and learn the thing. He came again, you go back. So, 50 times he did that mistake, 50 times you sent him back. But now when he's going to read that qaf, he'll read correctly. And if you're going to correct him by qaf, so he said qaf wal Qur'an al-Majid. The second round again, qaf wal Qur'an al-Majid, by qaf wal Qur'an al-Majid. So he's not going to get it right. And if you put that whole strain onto him, by go and get it right and you come, after you've got it right, now he says, hey, I'm being sent back. So, until and unless he doesn't have that grounding, he's sent back. When he's sent back, he feels the strain. He feels embarrassed. Hey, I'm being sent back. I'm being kicked back. I can't move. So, that will work on him mentally. It will work on his conscience. Okay, I'm being sent back. So, very quickly he'll get that thing. And he will get it so well that for the rest of his life he'll get it. I know one person was here. I met him after about 35 years ago. I met him after 35 years, for 40 years. So I saw him on 1971-72 in Mias Farm. So he says, I'll never forget that mistake, you know. I was reading the Quran Sharif and I read, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَى. So our Ustad Hafiz Abdul Rahman sent him back. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ. I can't forget that now. That is, my system is so well established and ingrained that it will not come out. Just one time he had to send it back. Now he was already Hafiz and he knew his work. But he made that one slip. One slip now that kunnas and all were left out, go and fix it up and come back. So when he fixed him up now, for the future he was set up. Now he'll never make that mistake. But he said, oh, bhai, read Amma Yuji, Amma Yuji, Amma Yuji, he'll read it. The next round again make the same mistake, repeat. So the right way is that original way. That original way, you go and fix the person, fix him right, And then for the rest of his life, you know, I made this mistake here, and I was sent back in the whole class, you know, 100 people were sitting there, and I was sent back. It was such an embarrassing moment. So he'll remember the Shan and Nuzul also. When it happened, how it happened, which class it happened, and who were the people around. This man is meeting me out of 35, 40 years. And so I can still remember that correction. So now it's how to correct the person. It's not just to casually just indicate. No, you go and correct the person. Correct him from the root. So you see this mashayikh, this is what they wait for. They wait for that level of atimad and atiqad. When they got that, then they were just moving. Isharos appear chalte hai. Then it's just an indication by do this, don't do this, do this. And they feel clear to teach that person. They feel the hearts are just clear. You teaching that class now, say, why must read cough like this? Why can't I read like calf? And calf, why can't I read like cough? You start breaking your head. You just listen to me and just carry on. After 20 years, we'll get to know all the reasoning. Eventually, the ustad will have to say this. But he keeps on asking. And the ustad says, hey, this child is going to take up my time. So the child first needs to see that, does he have the required amount of confidence in the person or not? If he's got the confidence, then he must move. Then he can't keep questioning, Yes, if it is against Nas Asari, it's a clear Nas, clear text, and you're going against the clear text, then obviously you're going to be apprehensive. If it's against the clear text, then you must be apprehensive. Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had admitted Adi ibn Hatim into Islam, right? He's coming from a Christian background and he's accepted Islam. So Adi ibn Hatim radiallahu anhu asks Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that, Ya Rasulullah, the Quran announces that we've been worshipping our priests and our popes, our priests and our monks, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله. So the Quran declares that we've been worshipping our monks and priests, but we don't worship them. Why does the Quran Sharif say that we worship our priests and our monks? Why does the Quran Sharif say this? So Rasulullah explained to Adi ibn Hatim that, is it not a fact that your scriptures say a certain thing? For example, the scriptures say that pork is haram and forbidden. And your monks and your priests declare it to be permissible. Is it not a fact that you'll go by what your monks and your priests say? See, yeah, it's a fact. That means, in essence, what has happened? In essence, you have given your priest the position of Allah. Allah Ta'ala has the right, to declare something permissible and impermissible without any reason. He's got the right to do it. Without his authority being questioned, he's got the right to declare it without his unquestionable authority. But everybody else, the authority can be questioned. Allah Ta'ala has got the right to declare something as haram, and his authority is unquestioned. Nabi Sallam's authority is unquestioned. We can't question his authority. But besides that, anybody else's authority will be questioned. If his wordings are going against the text, so as though you have given him the position of Allah Ta'ala, that you give a position of an unquestionable authority. Your scripture is saying pork is haram, but now the monk says it's permissible to eat it. Your scripture is saying that gay marriages is impermissible, haram, forbidden, but the Pope is saying it's permissible, carry on with it. Your scripture is saying abortion is forbidden, it's murder, right? But your Pope is saying that it is permissible, so go with it. So that right that was the right exclusive to Allah Ta'ala, you have shifted on to your priest. So you have taken your priest as a god. Now, similar is the case that we are faced with now, photography, right? Whether it is digital, whatever type of photography, right? Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullahi, in his kitab, he's got about 7 chapters just against photography. When he's got 7 chapters, Imam Bukhari Sabramda is rated the highest in hadith, right? 7 chapters dedicated only against photography. Now, we say, no, this alim said, no, it's permissible. This alim said that this is permissible. So the question is now, that on the one side, we have got so many clear, emphatic hadith, categorical, absolutely categorical in its message. There's no ambiguity. And then you got some alim saying something against that categorical message. Then where are you going to give preference to? The most you will say, now there's some difference of opinion. Right? The most you will say. But then when there is a difference of opinion, then the hadith is saying you that move away from doubts. So if you are summoned before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will ask you, that I had commanded you, that this is the limit of Allah ta'ala, don't come close to it. تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَقْرَبُوهَا وَبَيْنَهُمَا مُشْتَبِهَاتِ. So my Nabi Samad told you, and I had declared to you, that this is a doubtful area, so don't come close to it. So do you have any concrete reasoning in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say that this is permissible? And isn't there something very, very close in resemblance to Christianity? They're also given that same position to the priests. The right of Allah ta'ala, they had shifted it to the priest. So the right of Allah ta'ala, you're shifting to an alim. Is that right? If you are questioned, then can you understand now what a predicament you have placed yourself into? Can you understand what the predicament you have placed yourself into? So what I'm getting at is, coming back to the topic that we are talking about, Abdul Rahman. So his sheikh has directed him, you go to a certain place. See, it's easy. Deen is very easy. Just put yourself before Allah Ta'ala. If Allah Ta'ala were to ask me this, what am I going to say? If Allah Ta'ala were to ask me this, what am I going to say? And if you are looking for an exit, you are looking for some type of stratagem, some type of leeway, right? You will find it. But then you ask yourself, that will this hold by Allah Ta'ala? I can't bluff people. No, I heard this from this alim, that person. I heard it from the third person. I can say all this. I can make these arguments for myself. But will it hold by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That is the question that we need to ask. That is this argument going to hold? In this world also we do apply the same system we apply. I'm talking of doubt. We do apply it. We know it that we do apply it. Say you're coming back from any foreign country, right? And you know that a certain commodity is not allowed in South Africa. If you were caught in the customs, then it's about 5 years sentence and at least about 5 million rand. Fine, penalty. But now the person that is conveying the message is not a very, very reliable person. Not a very reliable person. There is some doubt about him. Will you take the chance of bringing that commodity into the country? No, but this person is not very, very reliable. So I tell the custom officer, the message was conveyed to me, but by a person that was not very, very reliable. Therefore, I didn't pay interest to the warning. Will it hold? So in the dunya, we do apply it. Very quickly we apply it. Dunya, when you talk of random sense, then our minds work. So do we have the level of yaqeen? If you talk of yaqeen, do we have the level of yaqeen? Ask yourself. The yaqeen is in random sense. There is yaqeen, but yaqeen is on random sense. I know I'm going to get this type of a fine. I know I will face this type of consequence. I'm not going to go that way. So this level of yaqeen has to come. You see, you want that acceptance by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that yaqeen has to come. And that yaqeen generally comes with commitment. You have commitment, consistency, Allah ta'ala blesses you with yaqeen as well. So we're coming back to this Abdul Rahman, and he's dispatched to Multan. En route, there is someone that is trying to snatch away his iman. The yogis, they are practicing this yogism to snatch away, to take away. That is why in this part they say about the most dangerous thing is association and company. The most, there isn't a thing that is as dangerous as company and association. Right. People that strayed away from the path was because of association. Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayth, look in the 19th Sipara. he accepted Islam, and just because of company and association, and he went totally off, totally off. Allah Pak speaks about him, يَوْمَ يَعَدُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ. He will bite onto his hand. يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِ اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا يَا وَيْلَتَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخِذْ فُلَانٍ خَلِيًا. I don't know why I haven't made this person my associate and my friend. So that friendship was the thing that had misled him. Now this association is not just a person. It's a book, it's an article, it's internet. All these things are association. In a minute, your mind can be just turned around. Our mashayikh say that if you look at a kitab first, look at the forward first. Look at the person, try to understand who's the person first. What was his level? What was his level of commitment? Otherwise, that which is in the heart of that the instructor or the writer, that flows into your heart. If he's writing in clear, flowing English, but there's kufr there, then you'll find darkness shifting into your heart. He's writing about hadith, writing about Quran Sharif, but there's kufr there. Or there's mischief in his heart. Or he's not a true, faithful Muslim, and he's writing the kitab. Or he's orating. So you'll find at the end of the discourse, there won't be iman that is flowing through. There won't be goodness that will be going through. It'll be something else. You don't feel the motivation that is required. You are excited. You said, Allahu Akbar, you shrieked out some incident. But afterwards, you're still the same. Do you find any improvement in yourself, in your life? In your iman, in your namaz, in your consistency, in your concentration towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do you find any improvement? Or you're still at the same point? So this is what is needed to be observed. Hazrat Maula Badri Alam Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, in a single discourse of Hazrat Maula Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, his whole life changed. He was a university student, BA graduate. And that's about how those students, university students, were totally off deen. I don't say he was, but generally, the general take was university students are totally off, absolutely off. They're bordering between Islam and atheism. They were like that. And in a single discourse, he came right. And he became such a person, Badri Alam Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, that at that zamana, 1960s, was about the leading muhaddis in the world. About the leading muhaddis, his Faizul Bari, that was his work. He has recorded the notes of his sheikh, and he prepared a kitab. Tarjuman al-Sunan is his kitab. But one single discourse, and it brought about a revolution in this man's life. So whatever what has been in Mawlana's heart, to bring such a revolution in that person's heart, he ignited that heart. So we can't be just reading any kitab, any book, going to any site, and feel, no, everything is fine with us. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. We think, no, we have got that fortress, we've got that immunity, very strong. No, that's just an imagination, just guesswork. We don't have that immunity. And the proof that we don't have that immunity, if we read an article for days and months, the doubt still rings around the mind. We can't get off that doubt, though we may not believe in it, but we cannot get rid of the doubt. The doubt is within the mind. So I was talking about this association, you know, association. We treat it as a very light thing, very small thing. We read one article, you associate with a person, if you know, nothing, it's not a train smash. It's not a problem. But you don't know that it's a brain smash. Maybe not a train smash, it's a brain smash. It smashed your brain. And to come back to terms, you don't know how to do it. How to come back to terms, you don't know how to do it. Sometimes you hear people, youngsters, not even youngsters, even elderly people, about over 60 years, reading some newspaper, Sunday Times, something, came across one picture. Well, I'm going to sajda, but I'm still seeing that girl in my sajda. Old man, 60 years. But I can see that girl in my sajda, in my ruku, I can see that girl. You see that it's a brain smash. They got their own wives at all at home, but they won't go for that which is halal, but they will go for that pork, haram. Absolutely pork, stink, stench, they will go for that. So it's a brain smash. The brain is smashed. What is halal, what Allah Pak likes of you, what will take out good, doesn't come out. But just because of one article, you read one thing, you've gone through something, and you don't even show the level of remorse. We talk about the Sahaba so greatly, but we don't even show the level of remorse. Abu Talha radiallahu anhu is performing namaz in his own garden, in his own orchard. And one small little bird is distracting his attention from Allah Ta'ala. So you see, it's not worthwhile keeping this bagh. As expensive as it is, as great as it is, as priceless as it is, that just in the precincts of the haram it is. No, it's not worthwhile. It broke my concentration between me and my creator. It interrupted my concentration, so I don't want to keep it any longer. Finish. Out of the way. It interrupted me. So when it interrupted me, how can I keep this? Beloved, it interrupted a beloved connection. So I don't want to keep it. Oh yeah, it's not really interrupting, it's smashing it down. Or we shall keep it. Keep it. This computer, this panah, this cell phone, this whatever. And we can see it's causing a problem. We can see it is causing a problem, but we will still continue it. This Ramadan is coming. At least we make some preparation for the month of Ramadan. We show Allah Ta'ala that we have got our loyalties first to Allah Ta'ala, then everything else. Everything else is afterwards. You're getting into a marriage, you're mad over that girl, then you become like an ullu, right? Whatever she says, you'll do it. Break this or break this. No, whatever you say, whatever, for your love, I'll do everything. Now for Allah Ta'ala's love, what can we show what we will do for His love? Can you break these things down? Can we tear these things down? I saw it now, next time I won't look at that girl, I'll just flip the page. Why allow that paper to come into the house? If you really have that love, why do you allow that paper to come to that house? You bring that paper, as though you say, no, I won't do it, but at least I'll have a chance. Maybe by just my mistake, I'll see it, you know, and flip through afterwards. So that chore, Allah Ta'ala knows about the chore as well. Yeah. And the chore will make a way into the heart. He's a chore. And his whole idea is to make a way into your heart. Now you got that. On one side you're making Allah Allah, on one side you're making this as well. So how do you expect the love of Allah Ta'ala to settle in the heart? No, I want the love of Allah Ta'ala, the sweetness of love. Allah will bless it. Like I say, sometimes you get some people in the crowd who have that genuine love of Allah Ta'ala. One man used to come here. He's late now. Sometimes I say that he's a Mehman man also. Not very bright. Not very. Because intelligent people, like how Mehmans are intelligent in business, very intelligent in that respect. But why I say he's not educated, for a reason I said he wasn't very educated. But when he used to make zikr, he used to get the sweetness in his tongue. He used to get the sweetness in his tongue. He would get it. That's why I'm saying that he wasn't an educated person, because this comes in the hadith. He couldn't have said this, or, you know, imitating the hadith. He didn't forge it out. It was genuine. It was genuine. So, Mona, this sounds quietly, Mona, you know what, when I make zikr, I feel like this. What's happening now? Is this my imagination or what? But it was a genuine thing. So he had the clarity of his heart. His heart was very, very clean. Absolutely clean. There wasn't any dirt in his heart. So when there wasn't any dirt in his heart, right, then he felt it, he could see the thing. We got so much of obstacles in our heart. For us to perceive these things, we can't perceive it. Because of the obstacles that are in the heart. See? So what we need to do is get this heart clean. All these obstacles that we have got, just clean. You know, I would tell that man, just do this, and he would do it. He'll tell me, I need to do this. I just have to tell him one thing, one suggestion is enough, and he will do it. Alhamdulillah. So you get that type of people as well, in this age as well, who do have these experiences. He had an experience when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam hugged him, gave him an embrace. Imagine, same person I'm talking about. But he wasn't a very, very educated person or something. But the clarity of the heart, the cleanliness of the heart, this is what we are aiming towards, the cleanliness of the heart. Do that and you see. Then you see what comes. And this comes with the same thing, that you have that level of i'timad, confidence. And all these obstructions that are coming on the way, association, especially in this age. And now what is the obstruction? Obstruction means anything that will take you away from Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is the goal. Allah Ta'ala is the goal. Anybody else, alright, for business, whatever, important, we meet the person, move away. And even though outwardly that person may seem to be pious, but you can see that he is distracting you from your cause, then gently, respectfully, politely move away. Because he's not leading you to your cause. He's not leading you to your goal. Move away. You're going to get into him, he'll get into you. You will get into him, he'll get into you. And then it's a choice now. You know, you got two wives now. Each one is pulling towards herself. It's either this or that one. So it's either dunya or Allah Ta'ala, one of the two. Make up your mind. And they can't see. Two wives, can they see eye to eye? Very seldom you'll find, you know, that you got two wives and they can see eye to eye. They can't see eye to eye. You either choose me or that one. One of the two. What person came to study in Saharanpur? So anybody that moves your way, whether it's from the heart, whether it's emotionally, whether it's intellectually, whether it's financially, whichever way, but he's distracting you from your cause, then you just move away politely, I said, like without fighting, without getting into any argument, without getting into any type of unnecessary talk, futile talk, but just you move away from him, gently. Whether it's a book, whether it's a magazine, whether it's a radio program, whether it's whatever, but it's moving you away from your cause, then you move away. By the taluk, the relationship with Allah Ta'ala is too expensive. I can't bargain this. I can't negotiate this. This is too precious. So all these things that are coming on the way, it's ghawail, all these obstructions that are coming, I need to move them away. You don't know which one your heart will just latch to. Something you went into and your heart just latched onto it. Now to move it away is difficult. Ask those people that are on drugs, what happens? They just went on it just to experiment. And after that, it latched onto their heart, now they can't come out of it. So exactly the same is relationship. When you move on to other things, other relationships, then someone will just latch onto your heart like a leech. And that leech doesn't leave you. It sticks on. So one person was studying there in Saharanpur Madrasa. And after some normal, you take a walk. So he's taken a walk after Asar is gone out. And he saw a group of yogis. Now just for the fun, what they're doing, normally the yogis, they don't have clothing and all. Whatever spiritual exercise they're doing, they don't have clothing. So he's just watching. Now you watch them, you observe them for 3 minutes, 4 minutes, whatever it is. Like how you watch television programs and this clip and this documentary and everything. We're very intelligent people. Documentary and all, you've seen all these things. We're very, very, very intelligent. Now, when he is finished with that, his heart is telling to Hindu hoja. Now you become a Hindu. And he can't just move this out of his heart. Now he's trying this, making this zikr, this dua, this Quran Sharif, whatever, but it's not just working. You see, that thing latches onto your heart. Sometimes people latch onto your heart, sometimes that article that you read, that latches onto your heart, sometimes that picture that you've seen latches onto your heart. And everything is meant to be an obstruction. As we are approaching Qiyamah, that obstruction becomes even more greater, greater and greater. So I say you, the simple thing is, the man or any person or any program, anything that moves you away, it doesn't bring you closer to Allah Ta'ala. Your love, your affinity, your bond with Allah Ta'ala is not improving anyway. By respectfully, politely, move away. Don't have to fight, don't have to argue, don't have to enter into a discussion, nothing. Just move away, respectfully. Because when you are discussed and debate, it becomes another problem. So respectfully you move away. It's just you and Allah Ta'ala. So you're meeting the person purely for Allah Ta'ala. No other reason. Otherwise I'm looking at you and I'm saying I'm doing for deen. But I know if I have a friendship with this person and he's got a hardware now, I need something for my business. You make a plan, you know. We're going to this person for gush, you know. Long time we didn't see him. But in my mind I've got another agenda, you know. Agenda is something else. So Allah Ta'ala knows all these agendas. So anything that's going to move you away, anything that's going to move you away from a beloved, just move it away. Respectfully move it away. Remember, when you move away things for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, you will not run short. We think, you know, the relationship is going to be soured, and you know how things are going to work out. Allah Ta'ala will make it work. Don't worry. One door closes, Allah Ta'ala will open another million doors. If you did it purely for Him, He will open up other doors and avenues for Him, for you. So anyway, now this person is troubled not to do. He went to the Shaykh Hadith Rahmatullahi. The Shaykh Rahmatullahi told him, alright, what you do is you go to Raipur. He sent a note. It was true, this youngster. He went up to Raipur, he sat there for 3-4 days. After a week or so, he discovered that the thing is still there in his mind. So he went up to Moral, I put it, and I told him, you see, I didn't come to enjoy the rotis here and the botis. No, I came for a certain reason. I came that this thing is stuck into my heart. Now this must be flushed out. So Moral gave him a small bayan first. You know, you must be very careful of company, association, company, small or big, but you must be very careful. Because yesterday the ladies were talking about some radio program, and sometimes there's a Muslim and against a Shia, sometimes a Muslim and a Qadiani, and there is some radio program carrying on. So I tell him, it's not for all to listen to this program. See, for instance, for example, right, the word of the Shia stuck into your mind, and the Mulana that's answering, that answer didn't appeal to you so much. Then what's going to happen? What are you experimenting with? Just for example, if that wording of the Shia or the Qadiani had stuck into your heart, and the wording of the Muslim alim didn't strike you, what's going to happen to your iman? You are experimenting with the wrong things. So it's not meant for everybody. So anyway, so he went up to Mawla Raipuri and he complained. So Mawla Raipuri Sabrahmat, I told him. He gave him an explanation and all that. When he was over with that, then he says, Me to kush nahi, I'm nothing. All these Buzhwaradin, they say the same thing, Hum to kush nahi. Where they got that from? La ilaha. What? There's nobody. When they say La ilaha, no ma'bud, really nobody has got real existence. Your existence is what? Is real or borrowed. I ask you, what's your, that existence that you got, is it real, it's yours, or it's borrowed? It's borrowed, it's not yours. It's with the will of Allah Ta'ala that you exist. So, mawjood haqiqi is Allah Ta'ala. Right? Mabood ilahi, like you say, mabood haqiqi is Allah Ta'ala, then mawjood haqiqi is also Allah Ta'ala. Right? He is the haqiqi mawjood. You are just there, just a reflection. You know, and Allah Ta'ala, once in a second, it just moves you off. Just moves you off in a second. So your wujud and your existence is not real. Real existence is Allah Ta'ala's. Yours is just borrowed. So consider your existence to be borrowed. Consider the blessings that you have got to be borrowed. And it's in someone else's control. He can just switch it off and on. It's so easy for him. Just switch it off, gone. So there's nothing really for you to boast about. So Allah Pak is warning you about company. يَوْمَ يَعَدُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْ يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا يَا وَيْلَتَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخِذْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَعَنَي. This company of mine has drifted me away, has moved me away. After Hidayat had come and embraced my heart, and I went and kicked it away by associating with this type of things. I went and experimented. Really, I'm a fool if I do this. So anyway, Raipuri Sahib, this person was fortunate, was lucky in that he went and reported to his elder. Then he didn't say, no, it's a different dimension I'm looking at from, and these people, they are backwards, they don't know what happened in the world. No. This person was really concerned about his iman. He had the real genuine concern. So with a genuine concern, he went up. Mawla Raipuri told him that, see, me to kush nahi, I'm nothing. Lekin Khuda Ta'ala ke baze bande ise hai, Allah Ta'ala has certain selected servants. If they point to your heart like this and say, tera meri Khuda ka zikr jari ho ja, then may the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala just get into your system automatically. Then your heart will just pulsate remembrance. It will just pulsate with zikr. You know, zikr will just become like natural. Like how you're breathing naturally. Do you think about breathing? You don't think. It just comes in like that. So like your breathing becomes natural, then zikr will just become natural in you. And just saying this, this person, even forgot to say As-salamu alayhi wa-salam, he is so excited, he has moved on. He went back to his aunt, so excited. So you see this, Buzhugaradi's Mashaykh are there. But what we need to do is that level of confidence. That level of commitment, that level of consistency, we got it. Now your action, your behavior, everything shows, okay, what is the level of commitment, what is the level of constancy, what is the level of consistency, all these things shows. And then they feel clear, they feel very, very clear, very comfortable to pass it on. But when they don't see it, then they can't pass it on. They can't pass it on. They need to see commitment. Like I say, the wife wants the same thing. The child wants also attention. The child, what he wants, you see your small little children. You took one child, the other child is running towards you. He wants attention. Wife, what she wants attention. So Allah Ta'ala also wants attention from us. Doesn't Allah Ta'ala want attention? He wants commitment, he wants attention. You give him that attention, you give him that undivided commitment, and you see how he will give you. See, this i'tiqad, i'timad, is the base of this whole path, this consistency, undivided attention, commitment, Allah Ta'ala will just give. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib.